please tell me who you are and where you're from and where you live today?
Yeah, my name is Joe Matthews. I grew up in southeast Wisconsin in a place called Brookfield. I have moved around a bit in my younger years, and then now I'm in Big Lake, Minnesota.
How did you find God's kingdom?
I was in the military after high school, and I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan. While I was there, I came in contact with a believer, a young guy that was in the military as well.
Share a little bit about that experience of meeting him. What was it that stood out to you?
Well, when I first met him, it really didn't mean anything specific to me. I mean, I grew up in a religious home and kind of knowledgeable about the Bible and that type of thing. So I met him, and I remember one other guy had mentioned that, hey, that guy's he's a pastor's kid. And I thought, oh, well, okay, good for him. At that time, I wasn't really seeking or bothered about my life. And so it didn't really mean much to me right then, but he and I became very good friends. We were like roommates, we were in the same team, we were kind of joined at the hip, so to speak, had many, many discussions about all sorts of things in life. And, some of those were talking about, religious stuff. And I remember a number of different discussions. Certain times it was like, oh, well, he's got his opinion on it, I've got mine. Didn't really notice anything different right away. But then it was about almost a year and a half after I met him that I was kind of in a position in life where my conscience was awakened, and I began to be bothered about my life and knew that things weren't right with me, and knew that if I died in that condition, I was going to go to hell. And so then we had different discussions. And I think it was, that's when I started to notice when there was more of an awakened heart.
Mm-hmm. Were you still in Japan at this time?
I was, yeah. We were stationed there for a couple of years.
So then once you felt that your heart was awakened, what happened after that?
Like I said, it had been about a year and a half after I met him. And then there was a period of time, I think it was September of 2010. There were some changes in my life outwardly and professionally, and I'd been given a different assignment. And it was kind of a low point for me, just going through some struggles inwardly. And I remember being kind of tortured about my condition in life. I remember going to bed every night just thinking, man, if I die tonight, I'm just going to hell. I just knew I was in the wrong spot, being kind of tortured, like bothered about mm-hmm. my condition. So that started like in September timeframe. And then up until it was mid-November that he and I were having a discussion one night. I'd been a drinker, and I had been drinking a little bit. And I remember discussing with him and saying, yeah, someday when I go to heaven, I want to have a golf course and whatever, because he and I used to golf together and uh-huh. from time to time. And so he said, well, in this condition, you're not on your way to heaven. Now, looking back on it, it's probably tough for him to say that, it's tough to bring that out as a confession. But anyway, I remember just thinking to myself, weird, how is it that he can make that call? But it was, he didn't mean it in like a mean way, or mm-hmm. just kind of stating fact. So that kind of led into the discussion, like, well, what do you mean? And then he said, well, God's word's pretty clear about this and this and that. And then I had some further questions. I had some additional questions. Well, what about this? What about that? And he said, well, I don't know if I can answer all your questions. He's like, let's just call up my pa. He's a minister. And so we ended up calling his dad, and his dad answered from Seattle, and uh-huh. we're over in Japan. It's uh-huh. a 9 or 10 hour time difference. And he answers, and he'd never met me, never heard of me, or, didn't know this call was coming and didn't prepare. And he answered the phone, and I said, hey, I'm such and such. And I got these questions about, I can't remember what all we were talking about, mm-hmm. but one of the specific things when I was drinking a little bit that night, this fella had said, well, for example, what you're doing right now is a sin unto death, drinking. And I'd never heard of this sins unto death. We ended up, what we called his pa, I right away, I said, so what's this sins unto death? I've never heard of that before. And he said, well, God's word teaches of the way of a child of God and the way of mm-hmm. living faith and so on and so forth. And then the discussion began, and I said, I grew up as a Christian and going to church and this and this and that. And then he mentioned about the faiths of the world, but there's, many different religions in the world, but there's one kingdom of God mm-hmm. and where the Holy Spirit dwells, and spoke about the gospel and the message of God's kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. And this message was something I'd never heard before. And about God's children on this earth doing the work of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit and forgiving of sins. You know, and I remember my flesh kind of in its death throes, just fighting back and had some argumentative things to say. And, you know, what about this? What about that? And you don't even know me. How can you say this and this about me? And he said, well, you're right, Joe, I don't know you. I don't know you from Adam, but God knows you. God loves you. And God is speaking to you right now through my vocal cords, through the Holy Spirit. He's calling out to you. This is the call of God's kingdom.
Wow.
And this is your time of visitation. He said, the message is quite simple. And it's been the same since the beginning of time. And that message is, it doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter what you've believed. At this time, repent and turn from sin and believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And there's like this pause. And then he asked, would you like to believe your sins forgiven? And I said, yes, yeah, I would. And he preached my sins forgiven. And it was just unbelievable. It was like a bucket of ice water hitting you in the face, or it just kind of felt like something hit me in the chest. It just was a very noteworthy, abrupt experience where suddenly my sins were forgiven just in a moment. I didn't know anything about different points of doctrine, and I'd never even heard of Lestadian Lutheran Church, but I just knew that my sins were forgiven. And I had this peace at that time. Anyways, I remember he was saying over the phone that, you know, and even the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now that one person has received the gift of repentance, and there'll be many other believers that would love to meet you and so on. And I just thought, wow, you know, I remember I had this half drank bottle of wine, and I remember sitting there for a second and just nobody's told me you should do this, you shouldn't do that. But I just kind of got up, walked over to the sink and just dumped it out. Wasn't for me anymore. And it was like a splash of cold water in my face. It kind of sobered me up. The Holy Spirit sobered me up right away. And and I remember going to bed that night. For the first time ever, I just had this peace. If I died tonight, it'd be fine. You know, I was at peace with God. And God is no longer this person out there trying to crush me or destroy me or judge me. Or he's my, you know, loving Heavenly Father. And that if I was at peace with him. And it's just been one day at a time ever since.
How did you know this is the kingdom of God?
Right away, like I said, I'd never even heard of Lestadian Lutheran Church and everything. I just knew that my sins were forgiven. You know, you've even heard it said that first believe and then all other things will be given or revealed unto you. God reveals these different things bit by bit as he sees fit. I remembered telling friends and family that I had repented and that this happened. I was just so excited to tell anyone and everyone. People were just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, people are even kind of suspicious or skeptical of the experience. I remember going back home to where I grew up after I got out of the military. And I still didn't really understand, you know, which church is the right church to go to and things. And I just remember, I got to get back in church, be serious about my Christianity. And I went back to a church in my hometown, I think two times. I remember going there and listening, and it just was not the right word. I don't even know if you could point a finger exactly what was wrong, but it just wasn't the right food. Two believers I knew was that guy I was in the military with and his dad. I remember calling up his dad and said, trying to find a church with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't seem like there's the right stuff here. And he's like, well, there's not any believing churches there in that area. And I thought, oh, how does he know? He's not from here. And, you know, I was directed to, you can listen to our sermons online, this website. And in Japan, I remember listening to some of those sermons. And, you know, I didn't know the minister. I didn't know the text. I didn't know what state they're from or something, but you hear it and it's just the same word each time. And it's just simple. There's not a lot of pomp and circumstance or silver tongue presentation or new angles on this or that, new ideas. It's just the same word of God. And then of course the gospel is preached, which is the most important. And so, yeah. And so I remember really when it was kind of driven home to me. So I moved home from the military, let's see, in June or July of 2011. And I was living there in my hometown, going to a community college for a while. And then it was New Year's of that same year. And I really only knew these two believers. And the dad that was a minister that I was on the phone with said, you know, it'd be good if you got associated with other believers, and there's, you know, there's these ones in Waukegan, Illinois, and there's these ones in, but I didn't really know anyone, so I didn't go there. But then he said, well, why don't you come meet me in Minneapolis, and, you know, and I'll get a plane ticket there, and we'll meet there, and I'll introduce you to some people. And so I flew up from Milwaukee to Minneapolis and to, you know, services at Elk River and Minneapolis and Rockford and Haps and all this stuff. And I remember sitting there, and it was just amazing visiting with all the different people who I'd never met before, but like there's immediately just this kind of bond, like you know them, and a love and unity that's just hard to describe or hard to understand if you've never had that before. And I remember sitting there Sunday morning in Rockford Church and just thinking, this is where I need to be. Like, this is the flock. This is like the right place. And I almost up and moved right at that time, but I was committed in school and I just kind of wrote it out there for a little while. And then ultimately ended up moving up to Michigan, to Ishpeming congregation for some years. So, and then now here I am in Minnesota. So.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I think it's evidence of the power of God and how he doesn't leave those behind who are meant to be a part of his kingdom.
Well, and even in my own life, there's many times where, you know, right away there was this major euphoria or just cloud nine kind of feeling of being a brand new believer. And but then the devil doesn't leave you alone for very long, only maybe a short while. It's kind of like when we go to camps or big services, you have that just kind of peaceful feeling, but then it doesn't, you know, afterwards the devil comes right to you again. And
exactly,
you know, so doubts come and stuff. But sometimes even my own remembering back on my very own experience and just how majorly impactful it is, that my own experience sometimes is reassuring to me, you know, this is the right way. And, you know, whatever kind of tribulations or personal trials or trials of the journey or doubts or things that can come or stumblings in sin or whatever it is, just put it away in Jesus' name and blood and keep going, you know, one day at a time. So, you know, sometimes people ask me like how long I've been believing, and I always just say, oh, just today, because that's just how it is. Just one day at a time.
So, yes. Yeah. And I think for the listeners, it's uplifting, even if you've been a childhood believer, to hear stories such as yours, because it reminds us of how simple faith is.
Right. And it's kind of like I was saying earlier, that sometimes it's just a simple matter of like first believe and then other things will be revealed to you in time as God sees fit. You know, it's sometimes when we have discussions with people that are very religious but believe differently than us, they want to discuss all these different points and bring up all these different quotations from here and there and other ideas and different angles. And, you know, really it's not a matter of, you know, hashing out all these different things and, and trying to get them to understand. It's only God who can open these things. And it's just with the simple faith of a child. And if God has prepared someone's heart to receive the message of the gospel, that's just God's work. So.
Absolutely. Thank you.